Good afternoon, everybody. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos Kufnun Beis Amud Beis, Kol mi she'ein lo kina belibo, somebody who lives his life without jealousy and without envy, ein atzmosav markivim, she'ne'amar, as the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Mishle, v'kev atzamos kina. One who lives his life without jealousy can be sure that his bones after death will never rot. Jealousy at its core, when you think about it, is an expression of arrogance and superiority. We feel that we deserve, we have a sense that the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak, owes something to us, and we're upset why we might sometimes have less than others. This, writes the Sfas Emes, is the meaning behind the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, famous Mishnah, Ma'od ma'od hevei shval ruach, a person should be, always conduct his life with excessive modesty and humility, but then, says the Mishnah, shetikvas enosh rima, because the end result of man is rotten bones. Explains the Sfas Emes, if one is arrogant and envious, his end will be nothing short of this horrible imagery, and it's really based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Kufnun Beis Amud Beis, Kol She'ein Lo Kina Belibo, Ein Atzmosav Markivim. Before Yosef's death, he made his brothers promise him that they would not leave Mitzrayim without taking his bones along with them. As the Pasuk tells us, Pakod Yifkod Elokim Aschem, one day Yosef tells them, one day you will come out of Mitzrayim, Behalisem Es Atzmosai Mizeh Itchem. And when you leave Mitzrayim, you should take my bones, Itchem, you should take them with you. And in fact, in the opening psukim of this week's parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu makes sure to fulfill this promise that the brothers made, as we are told, Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo. Moshe Rabbeinu takes the time to take the bones of Yosef together with him as they're leaving Mitzrayim. The great tzaddik from Yerushalayim, Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, makes a very astute observation, and he points out, why is it that the choice verb in this pasuk here is Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo, ayin mem vav, and not ito, aleph tuf vav, which in fact is the choice phrase that's used by the original promise that the brothers made with Yosef, as it says, v'halisem es atzmosai mizeh itchem. Generally, imo has the connotation of being equal, as Chazal tell us, ki tov lo imcha, imcha b'maychel, imcha b'mishteh, so imo means you're exactly equal, you're parallel. So why here does the Torah use the phrase imo if in fact Moshe was obviously not an equal to Yosef's dry bones that were no longer alive? Explains Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, and he suggests that Yosef in his promise did not intend that Klal Yisrael physically take his bones through their travels in the desert. Rather, he wanted that the future generation should learn the lessons from looking at his bones. Take my body with you figuratively, not physically. When you see that after all these years my remains are still intact, then Yosef said, you'll understand that in my life I was a person of impeccable character and a symbol of impressive humility. Although I was terribly wronged and tortured by my brothers, I never held anything in my heart against them. I did not live life with 1 ounce of jealousy, and I was never envious of their opportunities that I didn't have. This, said Yosef, is what you must take with you when you leave Mitzrayim. And this, we are told, is what Moshe spent his last moments in Mitzrayim doing. He was learning the lessons from the bones of Yosef HaTzadik, absorbing and understanding the value of humility and appreciating its extreme significance. This is what it means, Vayikach Moshe's Atzmos Yosef Imo. He made the ethical values of Yosef literally his own. They were equal and parallel to him because he internalized their messages and he understood their significance. In our shiurim, we often like to speak about different character traits and how important it is that all of them be properly adjusted and when well balanced. Here too, when we speak about humility, there is a danger in a person who has excessive degrees of humility as well. The Rishon Rebbe points out to another pasuk. He points to another pasuk in the second half of this week's parsha, where we're told Shavu ish tachtav al yetze ish memekomo. Obviously, the pashup shot in the pasuk is not referring to our discussion at all, but he uses this as a place to teach us a lesson. Shavu ish tachtav, a person always needs to treat himself as tachtav, as inferior, as substandard. Consider yourself lower than your friends make you out to be. But at the same time that a person expresses those feelings, it's most imperative to follow the end of the pasuk. Al yetze ish memkomo. Never forget your place. At the same time that we exercise humility, we can never forget our status, our importance, and our extreme significance in the world. As we say every day in Aleinu a few times, Bashamayim mimal, v'al ha'aretz mitachas. When it comes to inyanei shamayim, we always have to look mimal. We should perform mitzvahs as if we were the gedolei hador, Never feel that your actions are insignificant, but when it comes to inyanei aretz, when it comes to things that are just mundane, we exercise the notion of tachas. We minimize and underplay our accomplishments. It's said in the name of Reb Simcha Buna Mipshischa that each person should carry two pieces of paper in his two pockets. One paper which says, Anochi Afra Ve'efer, Ani Talas Velo Ish, I am a nobody, and in the other it must state, Bishvili Nivar Ha'olam, a person needs to strike the perfectly healthy balance between appropriate quantities of arrogance and humility. And if one looks at the end of the parsha, we see how Moshe Rabbeinu reached this perfect symmetry. The famous pasuk by Melchemes Amalek tells us, V'idei Moshe Kvedim, the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu became very heavy, so to speak, Vayikhu Evan Vayosimu Tachtav, and they take a rock, a stone, and they put it under his arms. Va'aron V'chur Tamchu B'yadav Mizeachad U'Mizeachad. And Aaron, the two assistants, came, one of them held one arm of Moshe Rabbeinu, and one of them held the other arm of Moshe Rabbeinu. So here we have Aaron and Hur, who served as the assistants and the partners to Moshe Rabbeinu. But perhaps the prototypical leader is the one who strikes the perfect balance between the traits of Aaron and Hur. Aaron, as we know, and we spoke in the past, was humble, he was patient, he was tolerant and understanding. That was the personality he had. Hur, on the other hand, was known as a very demanding, a tough, and an uncompromising individual. Hur lost his life on the occasion of the Egel. We all know Rashi tells us. While Aaron negotiated with the people and stayed alive. These great people were both represented in Moshe Rabbeinu himself. He struck the perfect balance. Aaron v'chur mize'echad u'mize'echad. He made the seamless balance of humility and arrogance in his own personality. In the opening words of Parshas Noach, we're told, Ela told us Noach, Noach is tzaddik, tamim haya b'dorosav, Eser Elokim es alach Noach. Let me read you a statement made by the Kedushas Levi over there in Parshas Noach. It's absolutely beautiful, and it really relates to our point very well. V'Noach says the Kedushas Levi, Hagam shahayat tzaddik gadol v'tamim. Although he was an extremely righteous individual, he was a tzaddik, he was a gadol, he was a tamim, hayakatan be'enav me'od. He felt very low of himself in his own perspective. V'lo hayalo emuna be'atzmo, shehu tzaddik, moshel, v'yachal avatal hagzera. He didn't believe in his own power and his own strength that he would be able to actually nullify the terrible decree of the Mabul. Adarabba, says the Kedushas Levi, hayachashav be'enav kishar hadar. He thought that he was the same as everybody else. V'hayachoshev imani e'yanitzal b'teva, and he felt, if I'm going to be saved in a teva, ve'ani ein tzaddik yoser mishar hadar, and I'm no greater than anyone else, heima gam kein inatzlu, then the rest of the generation will also be saved. And lachein lo haya mispalal al hadar. Therefore, Noach did not offer a prayer, he didn't offer a tefillah for the generation because he felt that he was the same as everybody else. Noach made the great mistake of inept and inappropriate humility. In fact, after the Mabul is over, we're told, Vayachal Noach isha adama vayita karem. Noach goes out to the world and plants grape vineyards, and Rashi right away jumps on this lashon, Vayachal Noach, says Rashi, asa atzmo chulin. He sort of degraded himself. Shahayalo lasok tchila benetia acheres. Noach should have first planted something else instead of planting grape vineyards as his first re-entry into the world. There's some critical judgment being passed here against Noach for starting off the new world by planting grapes. So imagine a person who has saved the world, the only existing family still alive, the person charged with the regeneration and renewal of an entire universe, a man who innocently begins his overwhelming task of rejuvenating the world by planting vineyards. How can we register any sort of complaint against Noach for beginning with planting grape vineyards? Didn't he have to begin somewhere? Would we be more impressed if he chose to initiate the planting with apple and orange trees? Would that have been better? So Reb Simcha Wasserman suggests that the issue here was a more fundamental one, and one which actually brought about the whole destruction and the Mabul, and that was the inappropriate expressions of humility, as we just explained. Noach, as Rashi says, asa atzmo chulin, he acted like everybody else. Noach was so overly humble that his reactions to tragedy and disaster were the same as the reactions would have been for a regular person off the street had he been saved. He went ahead, he drank wine, he became inebriated, he became intoxicated, as anyone else would have. And he failed to realize that he was greater than them. He forgot his prominence and his significance. He was an ish tzaddik tamim, and he was living in a different class than the rest of the world was, and therefore he was expected to behave and react differently as well. Before the sending of the Meraglim in Parsha Shlach, Moshe Rabbeinu changes the name of his great Talmud Hosea to the name Yehoshua. And Rashi, quoting the Gemara in Sota, comments that this was a form of prayer offered by Moshe Rabbeinu. As Rashi says, "Kol Yoshiyacha me'atzas Meraglim, may you, Yehoshua, be saved from the evils of the Meraglim." However, if you look there in the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, he has a very different explanation, a different spin on the change of the name from Hosea to Yehoshua. Says the Targum, "V'kadchaza Moshe an v'sanuse de Hosea." After Moshe Rabbeinu saw the humility, the extreme degrees of humility of Yehoshua, "Kara eshmo Yehoshua." That's when he changed his name and added the Yud to the name Hosea. In trying to understand this, the Kashan Tzur Magid suggests that just a few parshiyos earlier in Parshas Baaloscha, we learn about Eldad Umedad were misnave besochamachana. We had two Nevi'im who were prophesizing, and what was their prophecy that they said? Moshe meis v'Yehoshua machnisam la'aretz. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die one day, and Yehoshua will take them in. He'll be the new leader. There will come a time when Moshe Rabbeinu won't be able to lead anymore, and Yehoshua is going to be our leader. They were assuring Yehoshua of his prodigious future. They told him b'nevuah that he will be the man to take over the whole nation. Yet Yehoshua in his humility could not bear the attack on his Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu, and he asks Moshe that Eldad Umedad should be destroyed. This demonstrated so obviously the incredible modesty and reticence of Yehoshua. As remarkable as a trait as this may have been, it concerned Moshe Rabbeinu, because there are going to be times in which a strong stance is going to have to be taken, in which humility might not be the appropriate response. And Yehoshua was concerned, how will my Talmud Hosea be the next leader of Klal Yisrael if in fact he's so incredibly humble? This explains the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel is what compelled Moshe Rabbeinu to add the letter Yud to the name Hosea. Similarly, when the first Sanhedrin was being assembled, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Esvuli Shivim Ish Mizikne Yisrael. He does not ask for Shivim Anashim, as the Sfarno points out, because sometimes one needs to be an Ish, a man of confidence, a man of conviction, in order to be a part of the group of leaders of Klal Yisrael. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu was anav mi'od, mikol adam asher al pnei ha'adama. But at the same time, he was ha'ish Moshe. He was a man of strong principles and convictions. He was a leader who knew when it was time to hide his humility and exercise his authority and supremacy on the nation. This is our job as well, to always make sure to have a balance, a healthy balance of humility and arrogance, a sense of imperfection and deficiency, and at the same time, a feeling of excellence, accomplishment, and tremendous achievement. This is what we're taught by our great teacher Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is what Moshe Rabbeinu himself spent the last few moments in Mitzrayim doing, taking the lessons of Atzmos Yosef, absorbing them, while at the same time figuring out how to balance the influences of both Aaron and Hur together. He was on the one hand Bashamayim Imal, he understood his capacity, and on the other hand, Al Ha'aretz Mitachas. It is from him that we all must learn to do the same. I wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos.